कर्माणि संगम तत्यक्त्वा धनंजया सिद्ध्यासिद्ध्यो समो भूत्वा समार्थं योग उच्यते. Perform your duty equipoised, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. Durena hyaparam karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddho sharanaman vichya kripana palahetavaha. O Dhananjay, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Buddhi yukto jatatiha ubhe sukrita duskrite tasmad yughaya yujyasya yoga karmu sukoshalam. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. Therefore strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which it teaches one to surrender unto Lord Sri Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi phalam tyaktva manishinaha jarma bandha vinirmukta padam gachantyanamayam. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. I am very pleased and grateful to be with all of you this evening, and I would like to express my deepest gratitude to everyone for coming. It is a great act of virtue to put time aside to specifically associate with like-minded people for the purpose of hearing about the purpose of life, how to purify our hearts, how to become truly better members of society, and how to come closer to God. Thank you very much. We are reading from Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, where Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the art of working within this world. Everyone is working. In fact, Krishna explains in Gita that no one can exist without work. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we find Arjuna very reluctant to perform his duty. He had a great responsibility. He was a politician. He was a military man. and it was his duty to uphold justice and protect the innocent from the exploitation of the unjust. But the circumstances around him were so perplexing and so difficult that on his own he decided to give up his prescribed duty with the sentimental conception that he would be renounced and religious. But Krishna explains throughout Gita that you must perform your prescribed duty, but you must do it in a proper state of consciousness. And what is this state of consciousness is described in these verses today. The art of working. Working in such a way that we do not accumulate more and more bondage to the laws of karma. Krishna explains, Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana. That any work that is done as a sacrifice, an offering of devotion to the Supreme Truth or Krishna, that work releases one of all karmic conditions. It liberates one and brings about the awakening of the true eternal joy of the soul. But any work that is done not in harmony with the will of God, that is done out of the pretense of greed or anger or lust or pride or illusion for selfish, egoistic purposes, that work only incriminates us deeper and deeper in the cycle which creates more and more suffering, birth after birth after birth. That is called karma. So on one hand, Krishna says you must do your work, but he explains the art of working, the art of living. And that is to harmonize everything in a spirit of devotion to God. And this is, in fact, the greatest need within society today. The greatest problem in society is the impurities within human beings' hearts. The problem within society is not the mosquitoes, it is not the fish, it is not the buffaloes or the cows. They are not creating disturbance in this world. It is human beings. When human beings are motivated by anger, pride, greed, lust, by selfish pursuits, they lose their sensitivity to what is the laws of nature, what is the laws of God, and how to properly behave amongst others. And unfortunately, the educational institutions today, whether you like to accept it or not, in many ways they are creating more harm than good. Because they teach people so much scientific basis of knowledge, which creates great power. That is good if it is in the hands of a good person. And it is very bad if it is in the hands of a bad person. And today, practically nowhere in the colleges or university are people taught character, morality, virtue, knowledge. No knowledge is given. According to all the great religious scriptures of the world, including Gita, knowledge begins by understanding who we are and what is the purpose of life. Are we this material body? Or are we the eternal soul? That is the beginning of knowledge. People are living and acting according to the misconception that they are this material body. They are this material mind. And the satisfaction of the body and the mind is the purpose of life. It is the pursuit of happiness. But they do not know, because they are breaking the laws of God, their so-called happiness only creates a future of terrible suffering. And look at the world today. How much suffering? And it is all due to an ignorant proposal of trying to be happy. All the suffering in this world is due to people trying to find happiness in ignorance. You don't have to go to hell to know what suffering is. Hell is here. People's so much anxiety, so much frustration, so much disease. And this is created by an unnatural environment, internally and expressed to create an unnatural environment externally. Therefore, the beginning of knowledge is to understand what is truth. And Krishna very clearly explains in Gita that truth is to differentiate between you and the residence you are living in, namely your body. The body is compared to a vehicle. We live in it for some time, and that vehicle is meant to take us to a destination. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This human form of life is a special vehicle meant to bring us to higher realizations, to eternal experience of our relation with the Supreme. That is the exclusive reason that God created human existence. To understand through experience and realization our eternal nature and our relationship with God. And to express that relationship of love with God toward every living being in our work. That is the art of work. But we are not taught these things. We are just taught to work with no morality, no character, no purpose, no truth, no philosophy. And therefore, we simply make a mess. The world is a mess. And what there is a great need of is exemplary persons with real spiritual and moral character who perform their work for the purpose of actually doing good for others and pleasing God. So Arjuna was told, you fight. But you fight in the mood of Sanatan Dharma. What is Sanatan Dharma? Sanatan Dharma is actually the basis of all religion. Dharma means duty. Or in more technical terms, Dharma means one's nature. What cannot possibly ever be separated from oneself is one's dharma. The dharma of sugar is to be sweet. The dharma of water is to be liquid. You can make water solid in an unnatural condition, but as soon as it's in its natural environment, it becomes liquid again. The dharma of the soul, the atma, the life force within all of us, is to serve. We see everyone is engaged in the process of serving. People are either serving their employers, or they are serving their families, or they are serving society, or they are serving their senses, or serving their mind, but everyone is engaged in this process of service. That is dharma. Sanatan means eternal. Our eternal nature, our eternal duty is to serve God. Krishna is one of the great names of God. To serve Krishna is our eternal natural function. And work that is done without reference to that is simply an illusion. It is ignorance. It is bondage. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is showing Arjuna how to perform his work in a spirit of compassion, mercy, devotion, and in reference to truth. And Arjuna was not inefficient. He was the most efficient. Because he had the highest purpose to fulfill. In this verse, Krishna is explaining that we should free ourselves from both good and bad actions in this very life. Krishna says we should free ourselves from good actions as well as bad actions. This means the relative sense of good and bad. There is good, or sattva, and there is shuddha sattva, or pure good. Because the so-called good actions in this world that are not in reference to the eternal soul are not really good at all. The example is given, if a person is drowning and you save that person's clothes, that may be good, but it has no value for the person. It may be good for the clothes. Similarly, everyone's, the souls are drowning in ignorance. To simply do some good for their bodies is nice, but you've done nothing for them. Therefore, this dissemination of spiritual knowledge is the great need of society. And how to practically, without hypocrisy, apply this knowledge to our life. That is required. Family life is something very sacred. And we find the Vedic culture, it's basically based on the teachings of the Gita, the Vedas. And therefore there is some semblance of culture. Whereas practically the rest of the world, it has abolished and abandoned all sense of culture. There's a feeling of responsibility, but based on the soul. And if you take away the concept of the soul and knowledge of the soul, everything else will be lost. It is just a matter of time. Today, parents are wondering why children are becoming so irresponsible. In the Western world, it's unheard of. Once a child is 18, they're out of home for the rest of their lives. They may come home to visit for a holiday or for a birthday to eat your food, but other than that, they are gone. At 18, they get out of college, they get out of high school, they go to college, they graduate college, they get married, they usually live as far away as they can possibly find a place. And sometimes a phone call, sometimes a letter, and that's it. And when the parents are growing old and dying, if the children are charitable, they may pay the bills for some old age home where their parents are just being put on all sorts of tubes and needles, and that's it. No responsibility. No family. And even in the homes, when the children, I have seen, what is the unity? In the Vedic culture, everyone would come together in the morning to worship the deity of the Lord, to chant the names of God, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to go to the temple together, to serve devotees together. There was unity, to dance and sing together for God. It's a beautiful culture where there's unity and common purpose. But now, people don't go to the temples or the churches or synagogues as much as they watch the television. They may go to the church for 2 hours a week and they'll watch the television 7 hours a day. And generally, no two people in the family can agree on the same station. Therefore, just to resolve the arguments, everyone has their own television in their own room. And they might as well be in a different nation. What is the communication? Because there's no point of unity. But the Vedic civilization is based on the principle of responsibility and duty in relationship to the soul. But what is happening in India today? People have their family traditions, but they are becoming completely ignorant of any scientific, philosophical understanding of Sanatana Dharma. That we are the eternal soul, we are not these bodies. And we are meant to be nourishing and helping one another spiritually. And that is what is meant to keep us together. And that is the responsibility we have to each other. But when you take the spiritual aspect away, the traditions cannot last. You've taken the foundation away. When you take a foundation away from a house, when the wind or the storms come, the whole house collapses. So now what's happening here in India? People are going crazy. They're not coming to the temple, they're going to see Michael Jackson by the tens and millions, to see somebody just jumping around, spending so much money. And what do they get out of it? What is the purification? What is the purpose? Just some temporary enjoyment. And in pursuit of that temporary enjoyment, their lives are just being wasted. Their whole attention is being diversified from any meaning or purpose. And therefore we see so much irresponsibility. It is amazing to a Westerner, I was born in the Western world, to come to India. How many young people are drinking liquor and smoking cigarettes and having relations with opposite sex without marriage? How many people are staying out at night doing all kinds of sinful activities? This is India? And now people eating meat just because it tastes good? Gambling just to keep the mind occupied? So much wastage. It is obvious, because there is not a spiritual understanding, everything else falls to pieces. Just a matter of time. Indian culture is based on knowledge of the soul and its relationship with God. If you want to keep the traditions in India, which maintain ethics, morality, and loving relations, and stability, then you have to replace the forgotten element of truth within our lives. And that is the teachings of the Gita. That we are all part of God. We are all the eternal servants of God. And our eternal occupation is to unite amongst one another for that purpose. Tonight we were speaking with Vaishnav Seva Bimala, father. What is his name again? Sikesha. And he was explaining how his son, Bimo, we know him as Vaishnav Seva, which means servant of God's devotees. How he worked so hard for so many years to become a doctor and a surgeon. And in many ways, it appeared that he was neglecting certain responsibilities. But when there was an emergency, a crisis, heart attack, a need for surgery, who was there to help him in every way? He and his friends. Why? Because there's a sense of compassion. There's a sense of love in a person who has spiritual consciousness. That is the greatest need in society. That is the greatest example of character we require in society. Because a person who has compassion and love can change the hearts of others. Because they have the power of God within them. Today is the appearance day of Sri Ramanuja Acharya, one of the very, very great saints of the Vaishnav culture. And I would like to narrate one beautiful story which exhibits how the compassionate spiritual nature of a devotee of the Lord can so much transform the hearts of anyone they come in contact with. Ramanujacharya, he was the most influential saintly person or sadhu in the whole of South India. And his base was in Srirangam, which is just close to the city of Tiruchirappalli in Tamil Nadu. The Ranganath Temple in Srirangam is the largest Hindu temple in the entire world. And it has a tremendous culture of spirituality and philosophy and history. So he became so influential that people were changing their whole lives due to his association. People were giving up so many bad habits, and they were living very pure, and they were understanding and following the principles of the Gita to live in harmony with God through the process of bhakti or devotion, which is the essence of all knowledge, is devotion, humility, and love for God. But at the same time, when people become successful in any profession, other people become envious. Even religious people, when they are successful, people become envious. So the high priest of the temple, he was a very crooked man, very hypocritical, but he was getting tremendous amount of prestige, tremendous amount of honor and glorification from the general people. And Ramanujacharya was attracting so many people to the truth that people could see through this priest for what he was. He was being exposed, and he was losing his position. So he decided there is only one solution to this problem, that Ramanujacharya must die. There is no other way. So he made a plan. His wife was very similar to him. She had a very, very hard and wicked heart, and she was very attached to the praise and glorification that she was receiving with her husband. So the husband said that Ramanujacharya, he will always accept an invitation to take alms from a Brahmin. And we are Brahmins, so we will invite him for alms tomorrow. And I don't have to give you any instruction, but I will say that if there is poison in those alms, then our problems will be solved. So she arranged very, very highly deadly poison, and she put it in the prasad. And the priest said to Ramanuja in the morning, "Please come for alms at my house today at noon." And he said, "Yes, thank you. It will be a great honor to come to your house." So the pujari was performing his puja, and he went to the house, and the wife came and arranged all the nice prasad, highly infected with poison, and she came to give it to Ramanuja. And Ramanuja, he was such an embodiment of kindness and humility, of devotion. He spoke so sweetly, so nicely, with such a feeling of kindness to the wife, that she gave him the food, and then she became overwhelmed by his good qualities, and her hard heart melted right there on the very spot. And she began to cry, and she said, "My dear Sir Ramanuja, I have one request. Please do not eat this prasad, because if you do, you will die, because I put poison in it." Ramanuja was shocked. And with his own natural humility in his heart, he was thinking, not bad against the high priest. He was thinking in terms of himself, that what did I do to cause this person to be so hateful and envious of me? What mistake did I make? How did I treat him? What did I do that he wants to kill me? This is the nature of a great personality. He is always looking for the faults within himself before he'll look for the faults in another. He is always trying to examine how he could improve before telling everyone else how they can improve. And then he left. And he went to the banks of the river Kaveri. And his guru, Gostipurna, was there performing his religious activities, chanting the Lord's names. And Ramanujacharya appeared to be in very great distress. And Gostipurna Maharaj asked, "What is wrong?" He said that the high priest of the temple, he has so much hatred and envy toward me that he wanted to poison me and kill me today. I am praying to the Lord how he could be freed of the sinful activities that are causing so much hatred and terrible violence in his own heart. And Gostipurna replied, "Because of your prayers, this man will be delivered." So anyways, Ramanujacharya went to the temple of the Lord and prayed to the Lord that please free this man of his sinful nature. And meanwhile, the man went home and he asked his wife, "Did you kill him?" And she said, "When I saw him, my heart melted. He was so compassionate. He was so kind. He was so full of love of God. I told him what happened. And he did not eat the prasad." So this high priest became very, very angry with his wife. So he decided to do it himself. So every day after taking darshan of the deity of Ranganath, Ramanuja would take charanamrit, which is the water that is used to wash the feet of the deity, of the Lord. And the pujari put enough poison for 10 men in the spoon of charanamrit, and he gave it to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya knew this man had poisoned the charanamrit. But he looked at the beautiful form of the Lord, and he offered a beautiful prayer, that, "My Lord, this is the water that has washed your feet. This water is absolutely pure. If I don't have faith in this water, then what kind of devotee am I? And you always protect your devotees who have faith." So he, after offering this prayer, he drank it. And the high priest was very happy. He was watching to see when he dies. And Ramanujacharya, he started praying to the deity, not to save him, but to save the high priest. And in this mood of prayer and faith in the Lord, he began to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy. His body began to tremble in ecstatic love, and tears began to come from his eyes. And the high priest was thinking that the poison is working. It is taking effect. Because he did not know anything about ecstasy. So Ramanujacharya left trembling in compassion and love. And the next morning, when it was time for the Mangal Arti, the priest was thinking that today I will see the smoke of the funeral pyre of Ramanuja. But instead of that, he heard so many kirtans going on. And he came out and he heard everyone saying, "Ramanujacharya ki jai! Ramanujacharya ki jai!" So much glorification of Ramanujacharya. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people around Ramanuja in the early morning. And he was sitting down and everyone was giving him garlands and making so many nice offerings to him. And when the high priest saw him, Ramanuja looked upon the high priest with such a spirit of compassion and love and sympathy, praying to the Lord, "Help this man." The character of Ramanuja was so great that this man began to weep and cry, and he ran and fell at Ramanuja's feet and said, I am the most terrible person. I have tried to kill you on two occasions, and yet you are still trying to save me. He said, I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be sent on this very day to Yamaraj. And then he began to beat his head against the ground. And he was beating his hands against his body. And soon his head and his whole body was bleeding because he felt so guilty what he had done. He was beating himself and beating himself. And Ramanujacharya came up to him and placed his hand on his head. He said, you are forgiven of all of your sins. You just take the name of the Lord. And from that day on, this high priest, he became so humble and so gentle and so forgiving and so pure, such a lover of the Lord. This is the example of how love and compassion based on spiritual truth can transform even the most evil and wicked people's hearts. This is the great need in society today. Examples like this. Examples like this who are businessmen, who are doctors, who are politicians, who are housewives and students and architects and engineers. People of these qualities who are expressing their natural devotion to God through the work that they do. And this Krishna consciousness movement is simply based on this principle of taking the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and trying to train people to understand and apply these teachings to their life in whatever they naturally are inclined to do. To give up wasteful, selfish activities and engage in fulfilling activities that create prosperity of the soul. The purification of the heart is human existence's greatest goal. This is the age of Kali Yuga, where people have forgotten the goal of life. The age of Kali Yuga is plagued with so many faults. But Srimad Bhagavat explains there is one benediction, that by simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can cleanse our hearts and bring about the original, natural, spiritual condition of the soul. And it is for this reason that we chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. To cleanse the heart of kama and krodha and lobha, matsara, moha, lust and anger and pride and illusion and greed and anger, all of these anartas, or unwanted things of our hearts, are very deeply rooted. We have been cultivating them for so many births. But the name of the Lord has the power of God. The name of God can cleanse even the dirtiest, most filthy situation. Just like the sun, which is just an insignificant fragment of the energy of God, is emanating from the sun. The sun can go to the dirtiest place, the filth of sewage, and the sun will evaporate the sewage and make that place pure without in any way becoming contaminated itself. In the same way, the name of God is endowed with the power of the mercy and the glory of God. and by remembering the Lord's name within our hearts, and by chanting the Lord's name, we not only purify ourselves, but we purify the entire atmosphere. Krishna says in Gita, perform your duty, but always remember me. And this is the most sublime way of remembering Krishna, by chanting his holy names. So it is our humble request that everyone, please, very seriously, try to understand what is the great culture and heritage that we have been born into in India. It is a culture of spiritual realization. It is a culture of unity and sanctity centered around devotion to God and performing our work in a spirit of purity and devotion, which is awakened through associating with saintly people. And always remembering the Lord by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And like Ramanujacharya, if we are pure by the chanting of God's name and living a devotional mood, even the most terrible poisons of this world will not affect us. We will remain like a lotus flower. Even in the muddiest place, the lotus leaf remains very clean. There's poison all around us. But if we regularly maintain that connection to the Lord through chanting and hearing, and proper satsang and proper behavior, we will not be disturbed by the poisons, but rather we will transform the hearts of so many others to a life in pursuance of truth, reality, and real happiness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.